Good morning, beloved ones. Good morning. I started to say something else, and then I thought, no, I need to change that thought. Those of you that are quick got it, and those of you, that's all right, you'll catch on. But anyway, have I told you lately that I loved you? I haven't told you lately? Well, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. So turn to somebody and tell them, you are a love divine. You are a love divine. Yes. You are a love divine, a love supreme. Yes. You know, it's a special day, is it not? It's a beautiful day because it's Mother's Day. It is Mother's Day. Yes. And it is our tradition, and we at Unity always like to acknowledge all of our mothers, the mothers in our midst. So if you are a lovely mother, would you please stand? I want you to stand. Stand in your power. Stand in your presence. Wow, look at all these beautiful mothers. Wow. Look at all these beautiful mothers. Wow. How wonderful. You know, I wanted you to stand in your power of being a mother. I wanted you to stand in your love of being a mother. And I wanted you to stand in your ceaseless resilience in being a mother. Because, you know, we honor you. Not only do we love you, but we honor you today, and not simply because it is one of the Ten Commandments that we were told we should do, right? Honor your mother and your father. But we honor you because you are worthy to be honored, to be praised, to be acknowledged. And so we're thankful and grateful that you chose to spend this special day with us in our midst, and we're grateful for your presence. I was on this morning as I was preparing and working on my talk. Sometimes I'll go to Facebook and Spirit guides me. There really is a divine thing. But so this morning as I was working, I saw a quote that I absolutely loved. And it said that life doesn't come with a manual. It comes with a mother. Don't you like that? Yeah. Life doesn't come with a manual, it comes with a mother, you know. And not that our mothers will know perfectly well everything that we're to do, but it comes with a special quality of being that is motherhood. Now, you know, every Mother's Day, I usually extol the wonderful characteristics, the positive traits and the virtues, you know, of a mother. Their unconditional love. I'll talk about their kindness. I usually talk about their tireless work on behalf of their family. All of those things. Because I think it's good to hear that and for you mothers to receive that. But you know, every now and then, every once in a while on occasion, someone will come up to me at the end of the service and they will state something like this: but what if you didn't have that kind of relationship with your mother? What if you didn't have an experience that was filled with unconditional love and kindness and nurturance? What if that was not your life experience coming up? What if all of a sudden you recognize it wasn't all peaches and roses and cream? What if you didn't have a June Cleaver for a mother, you know, who was cooking dinner and cleaning houses in pearls and a wonderful dress, right? Because most of you, some of you don't even know who June Cleaver is, and that's okay. But us who are old enough to know June Cleaver, she was like, you know, it was like the perfect mother. She would always have pearls on and a big flowing dress, and she was in the kitchen, you know, looking radiant and wonderful. What if you didn't have that kind of a mother? And I always thought about that, because I thought, well, what message would I give to those souls who come and tell me that? Because we do know that there are mothers who have done some horrible things, who have caused harm perhaps to their children or allowed their children to be placed in harm's way. We maybe not that drastically, but we know of mothers perhaps who were neglectful in their duties, or critical, or maybe they were judgmental or hard to please or overbearing or controlling or just not supportive and affirming of who we are. There are that. What if we have painful memories instead of, and thank God, hopefully you've had positive and pleasant memories, but there are souls who have painful memories. And that this day of Mother's Day is a challenge for them. And I thought about that and I said, well, what this points out to me is that even mothers, as wonderful as they are human. And they come with the same human frailties and flaws, right, as the rest of us. They come with that as well. And, you know, they come from a place where we sometimes don't recognize in them. We sort of see them as being, you know, when you were a child, they were like a superhuman being. You remember when the first time that you had the realization that your mother didn't know everything? Or maybe even your father, for that matter. But, you know, there was a recognition of all of a sudden you saw a chink in the armor of your mother or your father, and it might have been a shock to you. Well, I mean, what do you mean you don't know? Because when you're coming up at a certain age, they had all the answers, right? They knew everything. And so we attributed this almost superhuman quality to our mothers, and as adults, we have carried that on, expecting them to be at a certain level of expression, always perfect and in tune to me and my needs, always loving and kind and non-judgmental, always affirming, always supportive, always unconditional. But you see, that may not be possible and realistic. Because now that we are adults, hopefully we have a greater understanding and a more comprehensive view of parenthood. And we probably have that because we should have a greater understanding of personhood. It's not easy to even be a person, right? Really, it's a challenge for us on the journey of life. So why would we not see or extend that to our mothers or even our fathers? Oftentimes, it's difficult to live up to this natural and even innate traits, because I do believe that there are some natural and innate traits of motherhood. And most mothers do. And of course, there are some who don't or who did not. So in thinking of those persons, I was saying, well, what do you do on a day such as this? What would they do on Mother's Day? And I thought, well, why not use it as a day to strengthen and bolster your own spiritual character traits by offering love, a love that is divine? See, sometimes we're waiting to receive love when actually the call is for us to give love. What if that was our experience early on, and it was painful and not necessarily proper? But what if on this day we could remind ourselves that we have a higher purpose, that we too can also offer something that is unique, a love that is divine? We could offer in the midst of that love some forgiveness, or maybe some understanding and some recognition of your mother's humanity. Because we all, we're spiritual beings, but we're having a human, you know, experience here. And it's good to reflect that they too need love. They too need understanding. They too make mistakes. They too have to grow and unfold as human beings and spiritual beings. But they too are on a journey. They too have a process to move through, just like you do. So on this day, instead of it being a day of painful memories, if that was your experience, it can be a day of powerful principles. Powerful principles in action. It could be a day in which you celebrate no longer feeling like or playing the part of a victim. I'd be a better person if my mother had done this, that, or if I had an experience in life like this, if I lived a life like, you know, June Cleaver and Ward. What was his name? Ward? Yeah, Ward. You know, maybe if they were my parents, maybe I'd have a different kind of experience. Or maybe if Daddy Warbucks was my father, I'd have, you know, I'd be living all of that. But you see, that's playing into the victim role. Why not take on the victim of victor role, not victim, but the victor role over your own consciousness, over your own choices and expressions as it relates to your mother or your father or your life experiences, but why not use it as a day to celebrate your inner traits and qualities of being, of what we would have desired to have had as an experience. We can choose that now. And so this is a wonderful opportunity. It is a day to celebrate. And I was thinking there may be other scenarios that we don't often talk about on Mother's Day. And another one could be where your mother has actually transitioned. And sometimes this holiday, this celebration of Mother's Day, just causes some people to experience a measure of grief or depression or sadness around not having the physical presence of their mother or their mother's love or their guidance. And I say, well, here's where knowing the truth can actually help you. We're knowing that when you think of your mother, it can help you to actually celebrate her if you can keep your memories and your thoughts positive. Knowing that her love, which is everlasting, is still present with you. You see, this is an odd thing to talk about, in, you know, on Mother's Day, but even when your mother transitions, when the body transitions, love remains. Love is eternal. Like life, it is eternal. And we never lose that loving energy that we had or that we desire, because love is an essence, a quality of God. And if any quality of God, it means that it cannot cease to be. Think about it. If life could end, then God could end. If love could end, then God could end. If peace could end, God could end. So it's eternal. So the love that we're seeking from our mothers who have transitioned is eternally with us. I wanted to show you all a video that was taken when our congregant Lapia made her transition, and we had a balloon release. And I had said to some of you I was going to try to show this to you. But this is what let me know that love is eternal and life is eternal. And one of the things that she had said to me, she said, you know, I'm not afraid of transitioning. I just didn't want to leave my children. And she was concerned about making sure her children understood and knew that she loved them. And during our balloon release, one of our congregants, Tim Smith, took a video. And in this video, I was looking at it, and I saw something amazing in it. Now, purple was Lapia's favorite color. And in this video, we're doing a balloon release. And I want you to look at the bottom left hand, and hopefully you'll see when all the lights are out, maybe you'll be able to see. But on the bottom left half, there'll be a little sort of bluish-white dot that begins to move up as the balloons go up. And I want you to follow that dot. And you'll have to watch it diligently, because at one point the dot changes into purple wings and then it just disappears. It's very fast. But let's see. I don't know if you can see it. If the people are already downstairs, And is this all the lights out? Thank you. All right, if you'll play.
Yes, we know that the Kenyan spirit lives on, and it is soaring high. So on the count of three, we're going to let her spirit fly. One, two, three.
Now watch the dot. You see the dot? Watch the dot. Thank you. Did you see the dot? And when I saw that, I was like, what? Did I just see that? And so I text Tim, and I said, Tim, did you see this little dot as it flew? And when you're looking at it, not on this screen, but actually on a maybe a TV or a colorful screen, it is so beautiful because I got chills when I saw it because it let me know that I know that that was Lapia saying, it's well, everything is good. I'm going to give you a sign, Reverend Sylvie, that you'll know that you can tell my children that it's well with me, that my love is ever present. Life never ends. And so, you know, someone else said, well, it's just the camera work. Well, you can say that if you want to. I've never seen little orbs go up and then flash purple wings. But but what that told me is that we never lose love and that we can always feel, even if our loved one and our mother has transitioned, we can feel that love with us at any opportunity. So it really is an opportunity for us not to focus on what we lost. You know, sometimes you say, oh, I'm sorry for your loss. No, because if you focus on the loss, it's just going to take you to a place of limitation, right? But we want to celebrate and focus on how blessed we were to have had our mothers or what we've gained from them, not on what we lost, but what you have gained by their presence. So that Mother's Day is not a day for dread, but it becomes a day for rejoicing and celebration of what you were given and how you were blessed, if you can acknowledge that. So another scenario that I think might surround certain people on Mother's Day are those people who never even knew their mothers. You know, we think of that because there are people who never knew their mothers. Or they didn't have a mother figure or that mother experience throughout their formative years. Maybe they were orphaned early. Or maybe they were raised by a single father, a single parent. Or maybe they were in foster care, moved from house to house, never having stayed any length of time to develop any kind of bond with anyone so that they could feel that sense of mother's love. Or maybe they were adopted and had wonderful parents but had a longing in their souls. Whatever the case may be, there's something within their experience that says, I didn't have that mother experience. Now, it's been said that people yearn to know from whence they have come, that that's a natural yearning, that people yearn for that motherly love. They yearn for that acceptance. There's a yearning for something deep. And I say, if you fall into this category, it's not possible for you to make some kind of a connection with your mother or to ever know your mother or anything of that nature, I want you to know this, that you are amongst all of us who have a deep hunger for a love that is divine, because every soul is seeking that kind of love that I usually speak about, unconditional, kind, nurturing, you know, affirming, all of those things. And that the soul hungers for that kind of an experience because it is a feeling, it is a hungering, it is a desire that is actually placed within our souls. Whether we know our mothers or do not know our mothers, whether we had a mother figure growing up or we did not, there's a longing for a love that is divine. And I really think that it has to do with the Spirit of God placing that desire for love within the heart of every soul so that we would not only seek out the physical expression of divine love, but that we would seek out the presence of God as love. That the soul is always seeking and yearning that kind of connection. And I think that we understand that everybody wants to feel loved. Everybody wants to feel valued and honored and cherished by someone. Don't you want to feel those things? Yes. And here's the thing. If you don't have a physical representation of someone that causes you to feel loved and valued and honored and treasured, the seeking in the soul will cause you to turn to God, to find something that you know will fill that desire. The scripture says and tells us that we should love one another because love is of God. So this seeking of wanting love really is the divine saying that we should love each other. Love one another, for love is of God. It's the greatest gift that we can receive is to love, and it's the greatest thing that we give to one another is love. There's a scripture, I love the scripture, that points out this true concept of the family of God. And it's found in Matthew 12:45, and it's where Jesus is doing his work. And the disciples come to him, and they say to him, you know, this is what they say to him. They say, it says, and I'm reading from Matthew 12:46. As Jesus was speaking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. Someone told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are outside and they want to speak to you. And Jesus asked, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Then he pointed to his disciples and said, look, these are my mothers and my brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Now, when I was younger and I would read that scripture, I thought, well, boy, Jesus was certainly rude to his mother. She's outside in the crowd trying to get to speak to him. And he comes up, well, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And I love it because he said, everybody, this is my mother. You are my mother. You're my brother. You're my sister. You see, and what he was saying to me in that instance is that we are all here to mother one another, to love one another, to be a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, to be family to each other, right? We're here to serve each other. And when we begin to open up to the presence of God, when we do what he says, the will of God and the work of God, then we can recognize we're brothers and sisters, right? So when we make that connection, we recognize that there's a higher love at work. And that's the purpose. It's a divine love. When I can look at you and say, there's my sister, there's my brother, there's my mother. You know, I can look at you like family. I can look at you as being a part of me, heart of my heart, soul of my soul, not another person, not another stranger, not somebody from another country, not somebody who doesn't look like me, but my family. My family, see? And this is an energy, it's a higher energy, it's a higher work that is at foot. We all desire this deeper love. This higher love. And all that we desire in a mother, we're supposed to offer to others. See, you have something when you give it away, right? There's a song, you know, when you give love away, that's when you have it. So we're supposed to offer, we're supposed to give. Whatever you want in terms of this desire for the love of a mother, which means symbolizing the love to be cherished and honored and nurtured and valued, when you have that, you give that away, you offer it to others. You offer unconditional love, acceptance, understanding, kindness, non-judgment, warmth, affirmation, support, encouragement, nurturing. When you offer those things, that's when you will receive those things. So I'm thinking, wow, this is a quality of love that we should all ascribe to. And then my mind went to the famous scripture on love from 1 Corinthians. We all know this one, right? 1 Corinthians 13. But I want us to listen to it for a moment. And I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. And then I'm going to read it from the Message. And it says, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of all and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could not boast about it if I didn't love others. I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Now, our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. And all I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Now, I want you to hear it from the Message. It says, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy but don't love, I'm nothing but a creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. That's a biggie. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with everything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompleteness will be canceled. When I was an infant at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like an infant. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then, see it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly, just as he knows us. But for right now, until that completeness, We have three things to do to lead us toward that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly. And the best of the three is love. I love that. Love extravagantly. Yes. So this seems like a tall order, though. Can't get upset. You can't take pleasure when somebody else that you know, have had, they hounded you and now they are groveling. You can't revel in that. Wow, you know, you have to deal and put up and endure everything. This seems like a tall order. And I say, yes, it is when you look at it from the human perspective. It's a lot to really do. It's a lot to really experience. But when you look at it through the divine, when you look at it from that God presence that indwells you, you recognize that it's a higher love. It's a divine thing. Because it's going to take a divine expression of love to do some of these things, right? To love your enemies, to love those that, you know, despite you and persecute you. It takes a higher love to do that. Almost like this quality of when a mother simply loves that child, even when the child does all kinds of things, there's something that still enables her to love that being. So we want to come from this place. We want to come from a love that it speaks to the heart. And in order to do that, you've got to open up your heart. You've got to let this divine love that is within you come pouring forth from your heart so that you'll be the expression of the divine in this world, that you'll be the light, that you'll be the love that comforts, that heals, that blesses, that forgives, that honors, that cherishes, that nourishes not only your life, but those others in your life. Because we're here for one another. We are here to mother each other and to love each other, to lift each other up, to support each other, forgive each other, to do all the things that we desire for ourselves. Because there's not a one of us that doesn't desire those qualities to be shared with us, right? When we stumble, we want someone to help us up. When we've made a mistake, we want someone to forgive us. When we feel lonely and isolated, we want someone to love us, to connect us to the sacred other. So this is a beautiful opportunity for us to love one another as we've been instructed to. For it's the high purpose that will take us into the greatness of who we are and who God is in and through us. So my wish for you is that we all experience a love that is divine. Blessings. Namaste. Blessings. Namaste. Blessings.